Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Not doing too bad tonight.
Tonight, no. It's morning, don't you know? Sunday morning.
Oh, that's right. Time for some mayhem with the Jabbercast.
It's Sunday morning mayhem.
Actually, when go ahead.
I was just going to say it's talk mayhem.
That's right. And when I said Jabbercast, for some reason, it just sprung into mind was the feeling of... Or the thought of a cast, like a cast of people. The Jabber cast.
That's because you're working in the motion picture industry now.
Yeah.
That the word cast has more meaning to it than just broadcasting.
Maybe so. Maybe so. What's going on?
We are recording on Saturday night.
Yes, we are. And why is that this week? Not golf.
I'm golfing, yeah.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Todd Pointer asked me to go to Roseline tomorrow morning at 11:20, and that kind of cuts right into the podcast schedule.
Okay. I think golf season was done, but as long as it's nice out, you can still go golfing.
Well, and it's going to be chilly, no doubt.
Or do they close these golf houses at some point in time?
At some point in time, when the snow flies and the ground gets frozen, they close them, yeah.
Awesome.
But we still go golfing, though.
Oh, yeah? Where do you go?
Usually like Rochester Place or someplace like that where there isn't a lot of residents around who would complain about people, you know, just hacking up a golf course.
Oh, you can just go in there even when it's all shut down?
Right. People put sticks in the holes. And there's not even a cup in the hole. It's just a hole, the last hole. So it's just to, you know, keep the game fresh in your head, I guess.
I wonder if there's a website called cupinahole.com.
Cupinahole.com.
Cupinahole.com. That would be cool.
Big JD, Big JD. Your mind is always in the gutter.
That's a website for you.
What's a website for me?
Cupinahole.com. Where you can mentor beginning golfers.
No, I don't want to have anything to do with beginning golfers.
Not right now you don't, because we're not talking about mentors yet.
Right. You're absolutely correct. I want to say I appreciate you, you know, just changing your schedule around last minute, 24 hours before I...
Okay.
Big JD is always there to be flexible for people who need him to be flexible.
He's always there to remind me. What's that?
Always something there
to. Yeah, I wonder what that song is though. Like,
it's like a pop song.
Yeah.
It's something there to remind. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, dude.
That's okay. I don't remember either. Not something. Whatever it is. I mean, it's catchy, but it's not something or a band that I really was into. I don't think.
I'm almost positive of that.
You either, apparently.
No, sir.
What's happening around there? Did somebody go to Toronto? I thought maybe you were going away, and then I thought that's what this might be, but it would be awfully late for you to be going anywhere now.
Right. Kim, I was kind of hoping, would go up to Coldwater with her friend.
You were kind of hoping?
Yeah, I honestly think to get away is always good for anybody.
Right.
And, you know, I love my wife, and I want her to be happy and all that kind of stuff, so I want what's good for her.
I see. Oh.
So, if she goes away, it's, you know, it's a vacation away from us.
So, she was just going with her girlfriend or something? She wasn't taking the kids or anything?
No. Oops. And supposedly they were going to go for a sweat.
A sweat.
Are you familiar with sweats?
I'm familiar with sweats, yeah. But what's a sweat that I don't know about?
I think they go into, like, a tent, and they go in there with someone who has... Stinks. Someone who has like some kind of spiritual power.
Ooh.
As it were, you know.
Yeah.
And they go in there and there's something's burning in there. I'm not sure what it is, but it's smoky.
Hopefully not canvas.
Exactly. And there's, I think there's a lack of oxygen, honestly, as well. And it gets warm in there, I guess. And you sweat profusely. And there's this, there's something's burning. I don't know what it is. And it takes you to some place where you can't normally go. It's kind of like going inside yourself, and you see things that happened in the past that maybe you've regressed and that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty neat, actually.
I think if you're like people that we have talked about on the show before, mm-hmm. some people who have who can get that out of people, yeah. talk to the dead kind of people. And what are those people called? Help me out. They're not mentors.
I don't know. Mediums or...
Mediums, thank you very much. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly the word I'm looking for.
Okay.
Yeah, so they were supposed to go do that, but apparently half the reason that Kim's friend was going up there was because her daughter is in a ice skating competition in Barrie.
Oh, okay.
And it was going to be too close. It conflicted with the sweat time. But there are some people who went up there to do the sweat, and they're going to go anyway, but just Kim and Jennifer are not going.
Hmm.
So that's the story behind that.
All righty.
And everything's good in your world?
Everything is all right. What's that song? Everything is all right.
Sorry, that doesn't even sound familiar to me.
Once you get past the star, everything is all right. It's a Motown thing, I think. Once you get past the star. No, it doesn't ring a bell. Everything is all right. Once you get past the star. Oh, well. I know it's sung perfectly, so.
That's for sure.
You just must not know it.
That's right. I think I need some instrumentation or anything is all I need.
I need some sweat. Okay. So, you want to get into some real news?
Some news. Let's do some news.
Okay, and here we are in the newsroom.
Here we are.
Oh, some news is that the Jabbercast, well, the website didn't get much of a makeover, just some information change, but we're broadcasting elsewhere now. We actually have a little player on the website where everybody can listen. So hopefully if you're, you know, listening to this podcast this week and haven't listened to the live show, then you can be prepared for that next weekend and go to thejabbercast.com. Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen to the show.
It's still daylight savings time.
Well, Eastern Standard Time is always Eastern Standard Time. We switch between daylight savings time and regular time, but it's always
standard Eastern Standard Time. No, it's Eastern Daylight Savings Time or it's Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Daylight Savings?
Yeah, but they don't put that.
There's two names, though.
Okay, right. Google it up, EDT.
Google her up, kids.
EDT, Eastern Daylight Savings Time. But
don't do this at home.
Yes, do it at home. I highly recommend it.
Bing it, kids.
Or Bing it. Sure, Bing's fine. Bing is a perfectly good...
Yeah, moving on. Now I hear it's okay, but...
I got a piece of news for you that you won't find it in the headlines
anywhere.
Of it.
Only yeah, exactly. On the Jabbercast.
Well, yeah, only on the Jabbercast, or if you're one of my Facebook friends.
Okay,
what
do you got?
Or a Grady Facebook friend.
Who?
You're familiar with the band Grady, Gordy Johnson's band. They're out of Austin. They're doing a little tour of Canada right now.
Okay.
In support of their new album, and it's called Good Is Dead. And I think it's going to be...
Pretty heavy title.
Exactly. And it's coming out on Tuesday, like all albums do, and... But apparently they're doing touring before, which is the same thing that's going to happen with the Government Mule CD. I'm going to see the Government Mule 2 days before their album's released. That kind of sucks. I would like to have at least get a chance to listen to their stuff. But anyway, back to Grady. They're on a tour. They went to a place called White. No, is it White Horse?
The Isle of Wight? Oh,
okay. No, they went to White Court is what it's called.
Right.
White Court, Alberta, which Gordy has a ranch somewhere in Alberta. I think it's near Edmonton, too. And White Court looks like it's about 100 miles north of Edmonton.
Uh-huh.
And I think the place they played was a casino-type place. You know, it's got a lounge or whatever
that can
seat some people. Mm-hmm. And they played 20 minutes, and they got fired. They were told, you're done. You're just too freaking loud. Go away. Pack your stuff up and go home.
Wow. Now, do you think it can't only be because they're too loud? I mean, is it maybe a little too aggressive, a little too heavy, or a little too different, a little too something? Because you can just turn it down if it's too loud. Oh, you guys are too loud. We're going to just turn it down. Okay.
Well, that's the thing with Gordy. His guitar is not mic'd. The volume of everything else on the stage is mixed in according to how loud Gordy has his guitar. And it is unbelievably loud.
Why is that?
He's just a freaking maniac, that guy. That's part of his sound. It's amazing sound. There's no doubt about it. But it's so...
He does have a cool sound. Is that what he's always done? I mean, Big Sugar Days
and
everything?
Yeah. Big Sugar Days. He doesn't use monitors, which is another wacky thing. Hmm. Just hears the sound that's on the stage and hears his voice coming through the PA.
He probably can't hear anybody else either and just says, you know, I'm going to start and then you guys just come in and play to me.
You may be right on that.
When it's over, I'll hear how the song sounded.
But anyway, that's a rock and roll story right there. You know, we got fired because we were too loud. Gordy Johnson in Alberta. Like, come on. He wrote a song that had the words Alberta in it. Mm-hmm. Nobody recorded.
I wonder if there's a guy or a girl named, a guy, I guess, named Alberta.
Uh-huh.
Gotta be, eh?
That's an African-American name, Bert.
B-U-R-T-A or yeah. B-E-R-D-A, anything. Alberta. B-E-R-T-A. Double
it's
A.
Second A-R-T-A. Easy.
No. Mac. Oh, we have a show coming up on the Jabbercast.
Alberta, of course.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Alberta what?
King Albert.
King Albert.
Alberta was named after King Albert, yes.
Oh, well, of course. King Albert of Africa.
Why are you here out of control?
I was going to say... I was going to say...
That's it. You're fired. You're too loud.
If anybody's loud...
Lippo's loud.
Lippo's loud. I was going to say that I think coming up next week on the Jabbercast, we have the Easy Mac guys are going to be on. That's going to be pretty wild. Well, next week on the Jabbercast podcast, we have Videography 101. And I guess we have the Jeff and Mike, the Easy Mac guys from the Easy Mac podcast, easymacpodcast.com, coming by to discuss a little about videography. And software and equipment and so forth.
Are you serious?
Yeah. We'll really be hooting it up next weekend.
I've never done that before.
No. No, neither. We haven't had them on the show with us, so that's going to be something.
That's going to be something and then something else besides that.
It's like those, you know, you see those movies where somebody plays two people and they're in the same scene together.
That's what I'm talking about. I've never done that before.
Yeah, it's going to be wild.
There's got to be some. There's going to be some pretending going on there.
Isn't there always on the Jabbercast?
Yes, there is.
I know there is on my end. But I'm,
oh yeah,
I'm not pretending right now, and I say that some Minnesota pigs may have the flu virus. Did you hear about that?
So that would be a swine flu.
The Minnesota pigs, isn't that a team?
The Vipigs. No, it's the Vikings. Sorry.
Okay. Pigs in Minnesota may have tested positive for the N1H1 virus, the first potential cases in U.S. swine, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced. So, what swine did this come from? Asian swine?
Nah, Asian swine.
If swines have never had it, why is it coming? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And it's all a setup, man. We're all being set up. Go get your vaccine. That's what they want you to do.
The first potential cases in U.S. swine.
Well, what is a potential case? Is a case that
it's
they don't know?
It's never been in swine.
Yeah, well, is it potential or is it there? It's like being pregnant. Oh, you're potentially pregnant.
Well, in its news release, the USDA says it is running tests to confirm the initial results. Samples were taken from pigs at the 2009 Minnesota State Fair. Of course, at the State Fair. That's where they're hooting it up and pigs are on display.
Yeah. Isn't well, look at the cute little piggy, Joey. Go pet the piggy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Next thing, Joey's walking away going...
He's got
piggy flu.
That's insane, really. And you know, for them to actually come out and say that, basically they're just putting a stake in the pork industry. And who's behind that? And the Jews. The Jews are behind it because they don't want pork being eat.
OJ?
No.
The OJ. Juice. Hey, who's the juice? It's not OJ, is it?
No, it's not.
Who's the juice?
That's a basketball player, isn't it?
Okay. It says the animals were apparently healthy and showed no signs of illness. So I don't even get that. The USDA says running tests confirmed the initial results. Samples were taken from pigs at 2009 Minnesota State Fair between August 26th and September 1st, but the animals were apparently healthy and showed no signs of illness. So they're,
it was apparent, but
did they even think of testing these pigs if they look fine?
I bet you it's part of some kind of
rigmarole.
No, it's something that it's part of the deal. If you're going to show pigs, you're going to have to test them for disease first. Make sure they're not rabies or whatever, you know.
Right, and it's funny that you said something about Johnny going to pet the pigs or whatever, because it said that an outbreak of 2009 pandemic H1N1 influenza occurred in a group of children housed in a dormitory at the fair. At the same time, samples were collected from the pigs, but no direct link to the pigs has been made. Information available at this time would suggest the children were not sickened by contact with the fair pigs.
Okay.
Okay, so there's no grounds for anything. It's just, it's ridiculous, honestly, the whole thing.
That's what I'm saying. For them to actually say something about pigs are sick with the swine flu, you're basically putting a stake in the pork industry, are you not?
Hey, that's pretty funny. Put a stake in the pork industry.
Why? Oh, steak.
Yeah.
Pork steak.
What?
Yeah, ham.
That's what they call me at.
Ham steak.
What? So anyway, is that all the news we have for today?
No, we got.
Oh, there's more.
Oh yeah, we did. Do we even say any news? Really?
No.
Did you see that video with the lady who was on the subway platform and the stroller? I don't know how it got away from her, but sure enough, the stroller went right into the tracks, right in between the tracks, and sure enough, there's a train, like, right there within 2 seconds after the stroller goes in between the two tracks.
Was the baby in the stroller?
Baby's in the stroller.
That's a long way down.
Yeah, for one thing, it's a long way down.
The baby's lucky to survive falling.
Absolutely.
Okay, and?
Now, depending on how it landed and if it was strapped in or not, you know, it could have been all right from the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out it survived, and it just had a bump on its head. Like, the subway dragged it 100 feet through the whole station.
Oh, it got caught on the train, too?
Yeah, it went, like, at the front of the train and just slid forward.
Till the train stopped.
Till the train stops where it normally stops, I guess. I mean,
lucky it was a stop.
Well, it wouldn't be anything else.
No, well, they would keep going.
I know, but there would be no platform there for you. No, every subway that comes into a subway station stops.
Oh, yeah?
Every train that comes into a station stops. They don't just go through, ever.
Hmm.
So, but to see it, it's just like, oh, my God. That baby's, you know, it's toast. It's done. It's cooked. But it survived, and not only did it survive, it only had a bump on its head.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I wonder if that kid will ever remember that.
No, it doesn't matter.
It's on YouTube. Or be affected by the trauma.
Baby hit by train survives. YouTube that up. Telling people to go Google stuff and now go YouTube.
So somebody should have shot the mother right away.
And actually, it started rolling away, and then she went to go grab the stroller, and she moved so fast, she slipped and fell. Because I don't know, to see it, it looks like she's not acting, but you know, there's a lot of good actors
out
there.
What a mother. And how'd that get caught on tape?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a really good question.
Maybe it was all set up.
Maybe.
That's be pretty difficult to get that on tape. And, wow, that's pretty wild, I gotta say.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, I thought you would have looked it up by now.
No, I can only do so much.
I can only do so much? What the hell does that mean?
Well, it means that... if I go monkeying around on the computer, something could go awry.
Oh, right.
And I want to make sure.
Don't be drinking.
Huh? Right. Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, don't be drinking rye.
I got a lot of pish to put in here.
I love it. Is there any other like real news out there?
No, I'm good to go.
All right.
Well, we'll get into today's topic. It's mentors on the Jabbercast.
I love the candy.
mentors, a trusted counselor, a teacher, a mentor.
Oh, I thought we were doing it on Mentos.
Mentos, the fresh maker.
Well, you and I have Mentos, so it's a good thing that we are male co-hosts.
Mentos. You have such Mentos.
Hey, that girl's got Mentos.
Yeah.
They've got Mentos.
There's a lot of women at work that my boss, or, you know, Mark, Dana.
Yep.
He looks at women's hands before he looks at anything. Oh, she's got man hands. I couldn't go with her.
I couldn't.
Your woman has to have...
Well, hands feminine. Are important. Feet are hands. Most important. Feet are important.
Feet are the most important.
Feet are very important.
Are they more important than, let's say, the eyes?
Well, yeah, of course.
What about the butt?
That's important, but feet are really important.
Okay. No mentors.
No Mentos.
Can you repeat what you said again?
I was saying...
counsel, guide, what?
Trusted was that a counselor or a teacher, somebody that's guiding or guided you through something. An instructor, basically somebody that you look up to as a inspirational teacher. A hero, maybe.
Absolutely. A mentor can be a hero as long as you have a personal contact with that person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's...
Can somebody be if they're you don't have personal contact with them? If you just, you know, this is the guy, he's my mentor. He's so great. I love watching him and seeing him like on online or anything. You know what I mean? And he's just the one that, you know, I got all my whatever from him. You know what I mean?
No, I think your mentor has to, you have to have personal contact with them. Otherwise, they're not a mentor. They're just there's someone who's on the outside versus a mentor or someone who's on the inside, like within the... Within, you know, it's someone you talk to, no question about it. You got to be talking to your mentor. Do you know what I'm saying?
Hmm. Yeah, I would have thought that a mentor could be somebody that you don't have personal contact with. You know what I mean? Like, can a mentor not be just someone you look to as for inspiration and heroicism? You know what I mean?
I think there's got to be some kind of dialogue, some two-way.
So you think they have to, you know, like basically kind of physically be that your teacher or your counselor or your...
Yes, something. Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be two-way. I think there are different degrees of interaction between a mentor and what we're going to talk about after, a mentee or a protege.
Mm-hmm.
I think there can be greatly... it can vary greatly on how much contact you have. It can be your hero. It could be like a movie star. You know, you talk to them and they might give you a phone call back or just give you some advice or whatever. It may be minimal amounts of contact, but I think there has to be some kind of two-way conversation there for you to consider them as a mentor.
You ever heard of the Mentors?
The
crazy,
band?
Crazy band from way back.
Punk?
The 70s or something.
It does sound familiar, absolutely.
Early 80s, maybe. We used to listen to him way back. It was just heavy stuff.
Cool.
But, yeah, so let's talk about mentors and mentees. Those are the ones taught by mentors?
Yes, sometimes called a protege. I was going to first mention the first recorded modern usage of the term mentor can be traced to a book entitled Les Aventures de la Talamaque by the French writer François Fellanan.
The Bergerac.
No Bergerac. In the book, the lead character is that of Mentor. His name is Mentor.
Okay.
And this book was published in 1699 and was very popular during the 18th century. And the modern application of the term can be traced to this very publication. And I'm assuming that this François Fellanan or Fenelon, I suppose would be, must have got the name from the Greek god, because mentor is beginnings in Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Mentor, he was the son of Alcimus, and in the old age, a friend of Odysseus, which is the dude who traveled all over the place, right?
Sure.
Went and fought in the Trojan War and all that stuff. But anyway, yeah, that's the original, or the origins of the word mentor.
Mentor, too, is a city
There's a city called Mentor?
Yeah, in Ohio. A city in Lake County, Ohio. In fact, in 2006, CNNMoney.com ranked Mentor in a list of the top 100 best places to live in America.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Mentor.
There's a lot of places in Ohio that are they're nice. It's nice, nice spot to live, no doubt about it.
Ohio's cool.
We're going to go into some other.
Me? No.
No?
Well, no, I had just, said something about what you had mentioned about mentorees.
Mentees.
Mentees, right. Do they?
Yes, they do.
Mentees.
I think women tease too.
I wouldn't have known that, that's what the, you know, like the employer, employee, mentor, mentee. I just probably never really heard the word before, a mentee. I'm a mentee.
Yes. The OR ending of the original name mentor does not have the meaning of the one who does something, like as in contractor or actor. It doesn't. It's a derivation of mentee.
Mm-hmm. If you were a mentee of a mentor, yes. Would you have been mented?
Freshly mented. It's like a coin.
Demented.
Maybe that's where that comes from.
It could be.
And to be demented, there was Dr. Demento sang the song Shaving Cream.
I probably have heard that too, and I can't remember it.
Shaving cream, shaving cream. Shave every day and you'll always feel keen. Clean, yeah.
Clean.
Then the next line is clean.
Oh, okay.
And all the verses had, the last line was always going to rhyme with shit. Like it was, my mother, she had a fit and she fell into a barrel full of shaving cream.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. That brings back a memory of some kind.
There you go. Do you know of any famous mentors?
Famous mentors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could be a lot of things, couldn't it? Or are there people that are specifically mentored? Is there somebody that is only a mentor? No. That's not a title, a job title or anything like that, is it?
No.
In any way?
No. Like Johann Christian Bach mentored Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. So Mozart knew Bach, and Bach mentored him. Like, you know, typically a mentor is someone who is more knowledgeable, usually has more experience, and oftentimes is older than the person who is being mentored, otherwise known as a mentee. And such is the case with Bach and Mozart. In athletics, there's the guy who mentored Lance Armstrong was a 5-time Tour de France winner. His name was Eddie Merckx. Familiar with Eddie?
Yes.
He was a 5-time Tour de France winner. Then he mentored Lance Armstrong, who went on to win 7 Tour de Frances. So, famous football player. Football is in a European sense. Bobby Charlton mentored David Beckham. Bend it like Beckham. What's another a fictional mentor would be Obi-Wan Kenobi mentored Anakin Skywalker and his son Luke Skywalker. Another example of mentoring. What's another good one? Aristotle mentored Alexander the Great, and Aristotle himself was a protege of Plato, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah,
I think so. It's from being the son of a philosophy professor. That kind of brings back a memory. As far as business people go, some guy named Freddie Laker mentored Richard Branson. Sir Richard Branson. So there's all kinds
of... some interesting stuff, I got to say.
Yeah, so that's all the stuff that's been... on the wiki page for mentoring. Now, there's a lot of programs that are set up in... institutions and even in corporations where people like vice presidents and stuff like that mentor people who are up and coming. So they set up mentoring programs right within the corporation themselves. This is, I think it's something that's really forced upon employees, because for the most part, corporate America is very political, and the top people like to squash down the little people so they don't come up and get squeezed out.
Right.
So these mentoring programs have to be in, I'm sure, specialized situations. You know what I mean? Like someone who doesn't have to worry about losing their job to some young, someone younger kind of thing. Like a progressive type of company. Like a Google kind of thing, you know?
Right.
Which we could have got into all kinds of news as far as Google goes, but save it for Tech Talk, maybe.
Okay.
Even though I got some Tech Talk. Happened.
Yeah.
Would you say that maybe you were mentored by somebody in terms of guitar playing?
Boy, oh boy.
Because I think musicians can have many mentors, you know, you depending on what your career was like and what kind of people that, you know, you happen to cross through, you know, go by or whatever.
I crossed some really cool people, but did we really talk guitar or exchange, you know, things? No, not really. But in the very early days, I would have to say my mentor was, and I've told you this before, it was Randy Falsetta.
Wow. I thought you were going to say the other guy there.
Who?
Charlie.
Charlie.
Sabo?
Oh, Zabo.
Zabo. Yeah.
No, Charlie Zabo. You know, I took lessons from Charlie Zabo way, way back at Leone's Music. And I went, I think, for maybe two lessons or something like that. And I didn't learn anything. Really, he started, I think, maybe showing me open chords or something, and he was just really didn't teach anything, and he was very too soft spoken for me to even keep going. You know what I mean?
yeah.
Quiet, and it just was really bad. So,
good guitar player, but he's not a good teacher.
Yeah, great guitar player, and you know what? I didn't know, honestly, really know anything about him, or even when he played in bands or anything, or I, you know, see him sometimes at the beach and talk to him and stuff like that, or, you know, wherever. And I didn't know really anything at all about him or his style or his playing or anything that he did musically with bands or anything like Hustler and all that stuff. I didn't know anything about it because I was a little on the younger side at that time until I recorded Charlie and a band that he was with. I can't remember the name now. Rough Mix, maybe. They were doing something for a television show, and they needed a couple songs recorded, so they came to me to have that done, and I recorded a couple tunes, and that's when I found out, realized how awesome he was and how down-to-earth he really was, you know what I mean? And by then, I was a little bit older, so I could appreciate him, you know what I mean?
Yep. He kind of reminded me of Randy Rhoads in that way, you know, just a smoking guitar player, but, you know, when you hear the guy talk, it's like, wow. And then you actually see his stature. It's like, you're a little dude.
Yeah. And he come in with like a Marshall and a Gibson and a leather jacket. And he was just so cool. He was so down to earth. He was so nice. And I just loved his playing and his soloing. But somebody that actually taught me anything was Randy. And I'm indebted to him for that. Because he showed me some things that I just went with, and I never looked back or looked for anything from anyone else after that.
So we have him to blame for your style.
Pretty much. I think so. Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't even so. And the funny thing is that, I never really took much of anything from anybody. It was more structure that I got from him.
Oh, okay.
And how things worked and how things fit together. And, when I realized that from him showing me that to, you know, having more to do kind of with cover songs, you know, and how they were made, in my early learning process. And I was like, wow, I'm going to apply that to my own stuff. And that's when I just went, and I was gone.
You went what?
Just went off on my own tangent.
And you have not stopped yet.
No, I haven't stopped yet. So. I want to say something that when you started mentioning, famous people that were mentored by other famous people, that's so cool. I never really thought, much about it. And when you start listening to all these people that you know and who they're mentored by, it's like, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and those are just examples. I think there's probably another page of the same stuff.
Well, I just went to a page here that it's all, and this is cool because a lot of people know these people, actors, comedians, entertainers, performers, and producers, directors, and things. And the names, like who mentored who, it's really cool. Just as a few examples, Warren Beatty, mentor to Diane Keaton, Jack Lemmon, Jason Robards, Robert Carelli, and John Graham Spacey, who is uncle, and they were all mentors to Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I heard that Jack Lemmon was...
Alan Altman, to mentor to Tim Robbins, Scarrett. Mel Gibson, mentor to Heath Ledger.
Really?
Yeah. Lucille Ball, mentor to Carol Cook. Michael Landon and Patty Duke Aston, mentors to Melissa Gilbert, who was on the show with him, I guess. What are some other ones here? Just looking for
Melissa Gilbert.
Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah, of course. She was a one-trick pony.
Gene Kelly, mentor to Carol Haney. Bill Cosby, mentor to Sinbad.
Sure, I can see that.
Sid Caesar, mentor to Neil Simon.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Carson, mentor to Gary Shandling and Jay Leno.
Of course.
And David Letterman, mentor to Rob Burnett, producer Rob Burnett.
Not to be confused with Mark.
Who is that?
Mark Burnett, he's the Survivor guy. He's the inventor.
Oh, right.
Reality TV.
Yeah, isn't he the reality show guru?
He's the guy.
Not to be confused with Bobby Burnett, who worked at Chrysler's. The crazy VW man. Anyway. Yeah, Steven Spielberg, mentor to Rob Zemeckis.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's the guy who played in Forrest Gump.
That's some pretty neat stuff. It's neat to go through a lot of those things, like you said, with the classical composers, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's neat stuff.
Sure is.
Did you have a mentor as far as music at all? Or?
No, there's nobody who really tuned me into a certain... I think I wish I would have had one, Looking back, I wish I would have.
Did you
cling on to somebody? It was too competitive. I thought in my day. I think it was more competitive in my head than it was in real life. But because I always felt when I went to Lon McQuaid's was the place where most people, professional musicians, went to. And I was always intimidated going in there. I'd see what's his name there, Mike Chichkin and Mark Chichkin and. Uh-huh. The dudes from the Hitmen and the dudes from the Buzzard Band and all those guys. I'd see him in and he'd be shredding or talking to the dudes in there. And I want to go buy a guitar. I got all this money and I go pick it up and I'm playing, smoking the water or whatever. And I just felt so intimidated by these musicians who probably I could have hooked up with and, talked to, and maybe they could have been my mentor. But I just felt it was so, so intimidating, I guess, for me.
See, when I seen them guys in there, I just grab the first guitar I could find and crank up an amp and play.
Yeah, that's you. That's your craziness.
What the hell is this guy doing?
Exactly.
but there was other, I guess some other, these are some things I just don't really think about much anymore. But I guess another mentor for me was Mark Braddock, Black Jack Braddock from Lynn and the Rebels.
I know Lynn and Rebels. I don't remember Jack Braddock, though.
Black Jack Braddock? He's a guitar player, Marco. He's from Tease. With Chuck Price and...
yeah, I know him.
Danter and Kozak. Black Jack Braddock, man. He's the king.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's awesome. What a great guitar player.
So he mentored you a little bit?
Yeah, quite a bit, yeah. He had done some producing for me in the studio, and he... showed me a couple things that I found really useful and continued on using them later on.
That's what a mentor's for. I think it's, you don't just learn, technique or whatever. You learn approaches to things and how to get a different perspective on whatever discipline you're working at, whether it be playing guitar or acting or whatever it is you're learning. I think you don't just learn the ins and outs. You learn, like I say, perspective and the way to approach things and stuff like that. That's what makes a really good mentor, so you can connect in a way first and then go forward with that connection and make some progress that way.
I think something that's neat is being able to have more than one mentor so that you can take, you know, more things from more people and make that your own. And I think that can be unique.
Yeah, then you make it your own. That's the thing, eh?
Yeah, that is.
I mean, you can hear a certain guitar players in other guitar players say, "Oh, he took that from sure, so."
Yeah,
so.
You can hear some influences, but
absolutely. And same with directors too. I think is true as well. In movies, you say, "Oh, that's a technique that so and so used." You know that he got that, you know, because you know the first time you ever saw that in a movie was probably some black and white movie, and you say, "I've seen that technique, but not everybody uses that kind of."
Speaking of technique, the new Steve Vai is great. I think new it's Steve live Vai. Or something, but it's really, really good.
Really? Didn't even know it existed.
And so, I guess speaking of mentors, Steve Vai's mentor was Joe Satriani.
Yes, absolutely correct. Good one. Which I guess you can hear some of Joe in Steve. It seems like Steve's a little... He took it to another place.
Yeah, for sure.
He's more out there, but you can definitely tell they come from the. They're heavy on the modes technique. And they got all that stuff. They know all that stuff, forwards and backwards and upside down.
And speaking of music and modes and all those kinds of things, let's slide into Sunday Morning Music Mayhem.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
This morning's artist is Jethro Tull, who did you know that the guitar player from Black Sabbath, Tony Iommi, played in Jethro Tull at the very beginning of the Jethro Tull band. And you can actually see that on... the Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus.
Did he
actually
play though, or did he just, you know, monkeying around, filling in kind of thing? Was he actually in that band?
He was in the band, yeah. What's his name? Look, they put an ad in the paper or somewhere, and Tony Iommi answered the ad, and I guess he only lasted a very short period of time. I'm going to say 2 months.
So there's no real recording with him except for that, probably.
Other than the Rock and Roll Circus stuff, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, this is with the other guitar player, which his name was.
Martin Barr.
Very good.
Yeah.
And this song is called Teacher.
What I call my say.
teacher from Jethro Tull from...
No, it's on Benefit.
A Benefit, that's it. Blue album cover. You got the album cover there or no?
I do not have the album cover. Okay, yeah. I just have a list in front of me.
I don't know why I thought it was actually called Teacher, but Benefit, yeah.
Do we have time for more mentoring
yeah,
stuff?
Knock off a little more mentoring for us. What was the other thing? Okay, Protégé. Did you want to talk at all about Protégé, or was that just...
No, yeah, let's definitely talk about Protégés for sure. I think the term mentee is a little more suitable for what we're talking about as far as mentoring and mentees, because I think when I think of a protege, I think of someone who doesn't have to be in direct contact with the person who they're looking up to. You know what I mean? If you're a painter or whatever, and you know you're really turned on by Monet, and you know every one of his pieces of work, and you studied his life and all this kind of stuff. You become a protege of his. That's what I think of when I think of protege, but I'm not exactly
I guess
sure.
That maybe that's what that's the kind of thing I was thinking along the lines of, where you didn't have to know somebody, you know, and what would you be if that was, you know, if they were your, you know, I guess I, if you can't say mentor, what, you know, what were they to you?
Right, exactly. There was some kind of relationship there. So yeah, that's what I think of when I hear a protege. But mentee would be more like someone who is the direct result of mentoring. So I think there is some kind of something that distinguishes those two words. I think that's all we can say about menting. I have a couple other things here that I'm getting from the mentoring group, or it's actually mentoringgroup.com. And creating a mentoring culture. See, this is what I was talking about as far as corporate America goes. There has to be a culture within the corporation. Within learning institutions, I think there is always that culture, because just the nature of the whole thing. And depending on what other kind of organization you're, you can also have a mentoring culture. In a mentoring culture, indicators of a mentoring culture are being a mentor is highly prized and pervasive. So it's something that you always strive to have within the organization, and being a mentor is looked at as something that you really want to do. Learning is also has to be a high priority within that organization to cultivate one of these mentoring cultures. Leaders actively support mentoring, which is kind of an obvious thing there. Communication is open and extensive. I think that's key right there, is the communication thing, which it's another problem with any type of organization, depending on how structured it is. Communication lines tend to be not as open and clear-cut as they could be, I suppose. I think as we move along in the future, that can be improved. And all forms of mentoring are occurring, so there has to be a constant mentoring going on. There can't be like phases of mentoring. Mentoring always has to be taking place within that organization for indicators of a mentoring culture. Tips for mentors. Congratulate yourself for offering. Be certain you're an appropriate applicant for the program. Offer a different slant, which I think makes a very good mentor. Next time, provide extra information and periodically review your desirability as a mentor. Review your desirability as a mentor. All good tips for people who are thinking of being a mentor to somebody else.
Have you been anybody's mentor?
No, I have not been anybody's mentor, but I can see being in it. Aside from what?
The kids, I guess.
Yeah, so I thought about that today when I was thinking about the show. You know, I think of a lot of kids who, when they're young, they want to be just like their dad. And I think a lot of boys especially want to be like their dads. And of course, girls want to be like their mother. So in that regard, I think for that mentoring culture to be there, I have to think of mentoring within a family organization. Has to have been there to begin with. So did I look at my dad as a mentor of me? No, not even close. Whereas I think you and your dad had a pretty good relationship, and I think you've taken on, you know, a lot of his attitude and his love for Jeeps and, you know, the appreciation for the military and all that.
I mean, personal mentors or mentoring through your life or something like that? Yeah, I have to say my dad was a big mentor for me, influence, and taught me so many things. So.
Exactly. So I think you have to, I think as a mentor, you have to really see something in one of your proteges, your mentees, that you say, gee, that kid really has that little spark that whatever it takes to do whatever to take this discipline or this field up to the next level. But he needs someone there to tell him that he has it, tell him how to do it properly, tell him when he's making a mistake and all that. And that's when you should really step in. If you see that little spark in somebody, which I think is a good sign of a mentor as well, to see what's the word I'm looking for? You see opportunity,
potential.
That's the word I'm looking for, yeah. Within somebody else.
Does it have to be something that the mentor, like, he's intelligent in that field, or, you know, knowledgeable? Does he have to be that way?
No, I don't know if it's knowledge, but let's say you're a carpenter and you see some kid comes in the, you know, and he just has what it takes. He has, you know, he's just got that eye for perfection and he knows how to whatever, really use a lather. You know, he's just got that something. You say, wow, that kid did a really good job of that project, whatever, you know. And you see that in that kid. And the kid may not even think twice. He just thinks, I just did what I had to do and I got it done, kind of thing. Whereas you're the person who would see something in that kid, say, you know, you really should consider maybe taking this to the next level.
Right. What I'm talking about, though, is somebody that's not, you know, even in that related field, somebody that sees something in somebody and really pushes them to do better, or says or suggests some things maybe, or says, I don't really know anything about this, but, you know, I'd like to help you somehow, or I'd like to, you know, maybe turn you on to somebody that knows more or show you some, you know, other things, or maybe I can, you know, get you this, and this that'll help you along. Like, would that be considered a mentor if they don't really know? You know what I'm saying? But they're the ones that got me started. They got me into it. They thought that I had potential, and so they helped me develop that somehow, like, you know, by reinforcing positivity or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that could be a mentor. I'm not positive about that, though.
I wonder if you would consider that person a mentor.
Right.
Maybe to some degree.
A minor degree, yes.
So anyway, yeah, that's that kind of wraps up the mentoring show, I think. We have a couple more segments to get into.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and stringing cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
Tech Talk, you wanted to talk about something you had mentioned at the beginning of the show.
Do you remember what it was?
No.
Okay, then we'll be able to think about what it was. But what I wanted to talk about was the next generation of cordless phones.
Oh, okay.
Why do I say this? Because, of course, we got some new cordless phones in the house, and they use the technology known as DECT, DECT, which is Digital Enhanced Cordless Telecommunications, or in Europe, it is known as Digital European Cordless Telephone. This frequency that DECT is on, which is in North America, is on the 1.9 gigahertz frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the cool thing about these frequencies is they're not even close to anything else. So they're Wi-Fi friendly. They have no interference with anything else because these frequencies in North America were... They used to be tied up, but as of 2005, whoever does that, it's the Federal Communications Commission, 2005 changed the channelization and licensing costs in a nearby band, which is the 1.9 gigahertz frequency, known as Unlicensed Personal Communication Services, or otherwise known as UPCS, allowing DECT devices to be sold in the U.S. with only minimal changes. So it's basically a new... frequency that opened up, and these DECT devices are now coming out to market. I got these phones at Costco. They're Unidens, and the model I got is the 2188. It came with 5 handsets.
And can't all be on at the same time, though, right?
You can all be on the same. You're not making different phone calls, of course. Is that what you mean?
No, but you can have five people all talking to the same person on the other end of the line?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, because I know a lot of phones these days, you have to transfer the call to the other handset. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think you might have to. There is something like that, I think, that you have to do. That you can say that another, like a conference call, basically. Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, if we have two phones in here, can I and Lana be on talking to you?
Yes.
Ours, we can't. I actually have to transfer one handset to the other. You know what I mean? Like, if I pick up a wireless phone when her sister calls and she's in the other room, I transfer it to that other phone. We can't both talk at the same time.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of phones like that, so that they don't have to be plugged into the wall. You plug one into the wall, you can have 10 of them around the house, and only one needs to be plugged in. But you still have to transfer them, like, you know what I mean? You can get the phone from anywhere or transfer it to any handset in anywhere you want, but you can't use them all at the same time. So that's why I ask.
Okay. I want to read exactly from Uniden's website. I remember reading something about that. And I wanted to say that there might have been a limitation to only being able to use two handsets and the base as well. Because the base is a real phone. You don't need electricity to make it run. You can still make phone calls on the base. So it's an actual wired telephone.
Okay.
So it's got an actual handset that's wired to wired to the wall, basically. And I want to say that I might have seen that it was only two of the handsets that can use here it is. Three-way conferencing, two handsets and outside call. So there you go. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the new cordless phone standard. And I have to think that it's going to stay here. Like, this frequency is basically, you know, we've gone up in frequencies constantly, you know, or whatever it was. It was at 2.4 gigahertz, if I'm not mistaken. The last one, or was it 5?
I think they were at 5.
5, yeah. So these frequencies, which are below the ones that are on the market now, they have like their own cordless phone frequency range that they're going to just stay in, and they won't bother anything else in the house.
Yeah.
Or be affected by anything else in the house.
Where'd you get your new phones?
Costco.
And you said you got five handsets?
Five handsets and the base set, too. So it's really six phones we got.
And can you tell us how much the new phone runs?
I want to say it was $119.
Okay. Huh.
So,
pretty
yeah.
cool. Is the base an answering machine?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't say it, but yes, right. It is. And I don't use it, though. I'm not going to. I can just turn it off because we have an answering service with our
Bell or whatever, with your phone company.
With my phone company, yes. That's a part of the...
So is there... What tells you that there is... that you have messages?
There's an icon on the display of the handset. Okay. And there's a blinking LED as well.
All right.
And then when you pick up the handset or any of the handsets, there's a beeping on the line as well.
Hmm. Cool.
That lets you know there is a message waiting for you.
I wanted to mention really quick the Zipcar thing.
The iPhone Zipcar application?
Not only the iPhone Zipcar application, but the I don't know if you'd call it a new technology, but it's a kind of a new way of doing things, I suppose, the way they have Zipcar membership-based car sharing thing.
Yeah, it's like it's short-term car rental, basically. Like, you may only need a car maybe 10 times during a month. And you might need it like an hour one day, and you might need it 4 hours another day. Well, the Zipcar option may be for you because it costs like, what, $7-$8 an hour or something like that.
So where do they actually get the car, though? How close is the car to you? Does somebody get you? Where's the cars?
Well, the cars are all over the place. They're in parking lots for the most part, waiting in parking lots.
Yeah, but they just leave them wherever?
Yep, they get left wherever.
So even if I needed a car and I would just leave it in the back of my building?
Yep.
And somebody else would just leave it there? Someone else.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just, yep. It's quite a concept.
So that they know where every single one of their cars are at all the time. And so you just go online and say, I'm here and I need a car. It tells you, okay, this is the closest car to you. You got to make your way to that car somehow.
So does the app tell you where cars are as well?
That's a good question. I don't know. You'd have to think it does. You know, I mean, it's all web-based, so I'm sure that...
You look at the thing and find out where all the zip cars are. Hey, there's one close to me.
Yeah. You don't even have to call them. You just go to that car. Well, you have to tell them in the app. I'm going to pick up this car, which has a certain serial number. So, and then it gives you... I don't think it gives you anything. It just authorizes your app to open that car.
Yeah,
so when you get close to that car, you open up your app and you push the unlock button and unlocks the car. And
the keys are inside?
No, this car starts with the iPhone app.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's right.
And if you don't have the iPhone app, there's something else that does it too, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure there's something that...
It sends you a little fob or something that it works for all of them or whatever.
Well, it's a membership, so you know what I mean? You're already hooked up and paid. I'm not sure how that works. You just get billed for what you use or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you have to have a certain amount of money in your account or whatever, but they are catering to business and universities right now. There's three tabs on our website for everybody, for business, and for universities.
So I wonder as long as you're in a place, I mean, obviously here there's nothing, but in somewhere like Vancouver, Toronto, even London probably, if, you know, it's a... booming there for zip cars, then I would imagine they'll be everywhere pretty close to you, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That's really cool. That's something, that's some kind of new technology, especially the whole thing with the iPhone app opening and starting the vehicles and all that kind of thing. That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. That's a good, that was a good tech talk add on there. Big JD.
And this week's Jabber Quote brought to us by
Steve and Larry. Fine mentors to everyone out there,
including Big JD and Lippo.
They've mentored us. Yes, they have. You can find them at the corner of Wabash and Chabane in beautiful Burbank, California at StephenLarry.com.
And what is the quote this week?
Well, I have a bunch of them. I'm trying to find one that's going to be by someone you may actually know. Truman Capote. What does he say? What I do requires fantastic concentration, but you can't be totally alone, or you lose all contact with reality. So even when I'm engrossed and secluded, Jack Dunphy can be there. He's my oldest and best friend and best critic, too. So that's what he says about his mentor, whoever that guy was. There's one there from Thomas Wolfe as well. Let me get one, a short one here. Your capacity to love is your capacity to experience the I of another. And the I is spelled I, not the right. E-Y-E. Mm-hmm. Your capacity to love is your capacity to experience the eye of another. Another short one. I suspect that every writer is secretly writing for someone. Anton Handwig says, every student deserves to be treated as a potential genius. That's the one right there. That was the one I was thinking of.
Every student what?
Deserves to be treated as a potential genius.
That's good.
And it's true.
That's the one we'll use.
We're going to use that one.
That's the one.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve and Larry.
Very much.
And once again, you can visit us on the web at www.thejabbercast.com. You can email us at hearmeout@thejabbercast.com or...
Next week, October 25th, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, you can hear us on... What is the name of the deal? Oh, it doesn't matter. You just go to the website and... Hit the player,
our
right?
Website, yeah. And we have a player right on the site, so you can listen to it. And the show's... what?
I was going to say, is there some way for them to talk to us?
Not at this time. Unless we hook up on, you know, figure out what to do again about Skype or something.
Right. Okay.
Either that, or we'll try and get some kind of little Java-based chat window right in our site would be cool again, but...
Chat client.
Yeah.
But anyway, with Halloween just around the corner and Christmas just down the road, we're going to offer some assistance with your home movie making. From camera choices to technique, from software to sound, we offer some knowledge and we'll do our best to have our good friends, Jeff and Mike, the Easy Mac guys, drop in for some assistance. Check them out at easymacpodcast.com. Note, this is for everyone into making home movies, both Mac and PC users. PC users know how to make movies on their computers?
I don't know. Can you make a movie on a PC?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
From what I hear, though, Windows 7, which is coming out 3 days before that show, is supposed to be awesome.
No, it's not. That's not what I hear. It's nothing to write home about. And besides that, I think they're... I don't think you're going to be able to buy PCs anymore. Aren't they, like, taking them off the market? Because they're just stupid and junky?
No, I certainly hope not. That's for sure. Because if they take PCs off the market, everybody's just going to rush to the Mac, and then people are going to be writing viruses and spyware and malware for Mac. And I don't want that.
That's right. Everyone go out and get a new PC.
With Windows 7. Sweet. Did you hear they're having Windows 7 parties? Did you hear about those?
Oh, really?
You didn't hear about them.
Can we get in on one of those? That would be something, boy.
It's too late. The deadline has passed. But you could, for whatever it was, $100, I think, you get the party pack. And you actually get a copy of Windows 7 as well.
Let's see if there's some around. You going to have my back?
I got your back, Big JD.
It'd be a lot of scrapping going on.
You got my back.
You PC user? Uh-huh. You PC user? Uh-huh. A lot of flogging by the Easy Mac guys.
You're the angry young man.
I'm not an angry Mac guy.
There's a movie. A horror movie. Angry Mac.
No, it's not going to be a triple X.
No, AMG.
Oh, okay. You said it was a horror movie.
Yeah, H-O-R-R-O-R.
Oh, okay.
Which my wife is watching a horror movie right now.
Last Easy Mac guy on the left. She's watching a horror movie now?
Yes.
What?
Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, okay.
Are you familiar with it?
I've seen things on it, like, what do you call it?
Trailers.
Trailers and stuff, yeah, and it's supposed to be cool. Yeah,
it's the same guy who did Spider-Man.
Right on.
Same director.
Yeah, Peter Parker.
Peter Parker was a poker.
Peter Parker picked a peck of pickled peppers. We're out of here.
See you later. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody.
See you next week.
It's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.